Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 305 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week with Gray. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Dave. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Melting slightly, having have to turn all the fans off in the room because it sounds like an aeroplane if I've got them all on. So yeah, apart from melting a little bit, at least it's the sun's kind of lapsed a little bit now. But yeah, it's been hot.
Been hot. I know we complain when it's not hot, but it has been a little bit scorchio this last week. Definitely.
Yes, has definitely been. So yeah. What have you been up to the last few weeks?
So before I about to go off grid for 2 weeks, I'm crawling towards my little holiday that I've got coming up. I thought I'd come on and just review June and July. I know we had a podcast really early in June, so I wasn't able to give my film of the month for June. Mm-hmm. I have now watched it. The film of the month for June is definitely Mitchell's Versus the Machines, which is a Netflix film, but it's also by Miller and Lord.
Yes.
So it's a Lord and Miller film.
Awesome.
And so good. It's a different type of animation again. It's animation we've all known, but the way they play with it and mix the formats and the styles, it's just a really good story. I like the setup. There's some good appearances in there from Olivia Colman. I'd seen a lot of people talking about it, and I sat down and watched it towards the last couple of weeks of June. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Definitely recommend it. I believe it's getting like 4 or 5 star ratings, quite a lot for a straight to Netflix film. Absolutely go and watch it. So that's my film of the month for June. Film of the month for July, we are still 11 days from finishing July, but I've already got it, and I do not think anything's going to come close at the moment. I am putting Black Widow out there as my film of the month for July. I went and saw it in a real cinema, Dave.
Wow.
I didn't play for premiere access. We went into a real cinema and we watched it and we experienced it in like the big screen, and it was really good. It felt right. It was a really good film to watch. Scarlett Johansson absolutely does her justice. It does her story justice. It adds another depth and layer to the film story. And, you know, a little bit of me wishes they actually had the opportunity to show this movie in the right timeline.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously it shows at the time this happened, and the post-credit scene helps me piece together what happens and where it is, and you've got the colour of her hair. But absolutely brilliant. There's a lovely throw. I'm going to try and do it without spoilers. There's a throw forward to an upcoming Disney Plus series in the autumn, which was really good. But there was also a throwback to Falcon and Winter Soldier, where there was an appearance of a character. And because of all the delays and where this should have fallen in the timeline, my brain was all fizzing and thinking, did they film that sequence before or after the pandemic? And were we meant to meet that character before she'd appeared in Falcon and Winter? Anyway, so yeah, and that made me love the cinematic universe again. I'm back there. I've got loads of questions. Me and my friend came out, we had a whole car journey home, back talking about it, which makes such a difference from sitting in front of the TV in the lounge. And, you know, it just had that real sense. So that's my film of the month for July. Absolutely brilliant. Some great comedy, some great acting in there. Those are my recommendations.
Yeah, I certainly enjoyed it. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily up there with some of the crazier films, but it's a good solid movie. It's a good send off for her. The character that you're referencing from the end credit sequence, I believe, yes, this was where we were first supposed to meet her.
Okay.
But she has appeared in other things since.
Yeah.
So they ended up... I don't think it makes too much of a difference, but yes, I think her introduction was supposed to be here originally. So, okay. Yes. But
yeah. Good return for Marvel. You know, it was a... That's for my... Yeah, it definitely is not... There was some of the favourites, but it was good in comparison to some of the other solo ventures, I would say.
Yes, definitely.
Over to TV then. I finished, in my opinion, 5 really good programmes in the last couple of weeks. And I know we're going to talk about one of them together at the end, so I'll leave that one towards the end of my list. But I finished Kim's Convenience, which is a final season of the Korean sitcom on Netflix. This also has Simu Lee, who's going to be in our film Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yes.
So that was his first sort of appearance. There's some sad controversy about the end of this series. If you want to go and read up on it, there is some problems that Canada had with the storylines, and there's been some suggestions of some cultural appropriation, which is sad.
Right.
But the series is still good. It's comedy. It's based on a play that got turned into this 6-season sitcom.
Wow.
11 to 12 episodes per season.
Yeah.
If you want to go and binge it, it's all there on Netflix. I finally got around to finish Solar Opposites. I know I'm a little bit late to the party. You've been telling me about it. Absolutely great stories in the wall. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And I just love their self-referential bit in the last bit of their episode 8 about the holiday special. Yeah. It's just... Absolutely. I couldn't believe they were doing it. And I know you mentioned it in a previous podcast, but when it started coming out as the dialogue, I was like, oh, that's so good that they sort of like mock themselves about it. Next up, Feel Good, 6-episode, second and final season of the Main Martin sitcom, sort of rom-com drama. Brilliant. Charlotte Ritchie, fantastic. Main Martin, Lisa Kudrow, all-star cast. I've listened to a couple of interviews in May about it being the perfect send-off, and she wouldn't want to visit those characters again. The central character of May is quite self-referential as well. So, it was really good. Again, 6-episode, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I just finished the latest season of Last Leg, which is the Channel 4 chat show with Adam Hills.
Yeah.
I just think they are doing such a good job. If you reflect on this being a program that was supposed to just be there for the Paralympics, they're now getting set up for the next set of Paralympics. It's just so funny, so bang on about what's going on in the world today. They get some absolutely brilliant guests on who will talk quite openly about what's going on in the world. And I absolutely appreciate that. And I just think they're doing a really good job. If you think about some of the other chat shows we have, that at the moment, I think The Last Leg is out there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I do love The Last Leg. I think they do a wonderful, wonderful job. It's really, really funny as well. Feel Good, I haven't actually watched yet, but I do really like Mae Martin. There's a few of her stand-up bits on Netflix, and they're really, really funny. And Charlotte Ritchie, I think I've actually interviewed Charlotte Ritchie for Dead Pixels when she was on that. So I have actually met her because I did a set visit for Dead Pixels on the last season. So she's really nice as well. And I mean, Lisa Kudrow is Lisa Kudrow, you know. So.
Yeah. All good. The fifth one we'll talk about at the end, which is Loki, but we'll come to that. What's on my currently watching list? So I am powering through. I started Atypical at the weekend. I'm 2 episodes into the docuseries Sophie, a Murder, which is on Netflix. I'm up to date with Love, Victor, all the procedurals. So your 911s, your 911s, Lone Star, I'm watching all of those. Blackish has just been dropped onto E4, and I'll talk about it later when you talk about coming up. I've got a theory about why that was all dropped so rapidly. And Harley Quinn, I'm a little bit behind from when it first got released, but I started that about the same weekend I started Blackish. I know I'm still so far behind. Obviously, the term's drained me. But on the list for the summer, I'm going to get the DC show started, which is Flash and Legends and Supergirl. Never Have I Ever just dropped on Friday. And I am very much looking forward to August the 11th, which is What If, which I think we should now both talk about.
Loki. Yes. Loki was obviously the big thing, which ended What If, which is the next one. We're in a bit of a kind of gap on the Marvel things until August the 11th, which is when What If drops, which is the animated thing. But it does set things up in Loki quite nicely for What If to be the next thing that comes along.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are going to be potentially spoilers in this bit because we're talking about the Loki finale. So let me just find...
Spoilers.
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 Now, there's a
Spoilers.
So, Loki, what did you think of the series as a whole and where they ended things with the finale?
I really enjoyed it. It's second in my ranking at the moment behind WandaVision, above Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think Tom Hiddleston was brilliant.
Yes.
I think the character of Sylvie, I've forgotten the actress's name right now, but was a brilliant addition to the cast. As is Owen Wilson. He can be quite frustrating as an actor sometimes, but I thought he would deliver it really well. I like where they set it up. And second season, I didn't see that coming. I was convinced it was going to go through as a limited. And whatever happened at the end would lead on to what we know now is the leading on to the next wave of Marvel films that are all going to deal with the fallout of this. But I was just so excited to see that in the sort of end sequence. There are still loads of questions, like, you know, Ravenna Ravenclaw, where is she? You know, she set off and I almost thought she was going to get a post-credit sting, but, you know, she just sort of disappeared. I still think there's a lot of questions about the Nexus events and what that actually means for the ongoing storylines and that, but I'm really excited. I came away from that episode thinking in my head, I always get it wrong, but plotting what the next phase is about and why that was so important.
That's brilliant as well, because the way that they set this up for basically, I mean, this final episode births the multiverse pretty much. And, you know, we've been talking about, oh, are they introducing the multiverse? Are they introducing the multiverse? Because we know the multiverse is going to be a big thing, particularly for the Spider-Man movie by the looks of things. And also, obviously, we've got Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So they're not exactly hiding the fact that there is a multiverse element coming up. So what's interesting about the Loki series is this seems to be the birth of that multiverse, because the end of it, we meet this character who's referred to as He Who Remains. But in actual fact, that actor is playing another character in the MCU. So it looks like He Who Remains is a version of Kang the Conqueror.
Yes, I read something about that. He has multiple names and they refer to him as multiple different versions, but Kang the Conqueror kept coming through.
Yeah, he does have multiple names, and the idea is that they've set it up so there are now this multiverse has been birthed, all the evil variants of which there are apparently many are going to be popping up and causing Loki trouble in the second season. But equally, Kang the Conqueror had already been cast with Jonathan Majors playing the role in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, so we kind of knew that that character was coming up because that had already been announced. So to have him pop up at the end of this as a altered version or a variant version of that character as He Who Remains, I thought was quite an interesting little thing to put in there. So I really like that. I thought Sofia De Martino did a wonderful job as Sylvie and, you know, the sort of Lady Loki version. I think she was great in that. I hadn't spotted that. There was a young version of Sylvie in this as well. It's played by Kaylee Fleming from The Walking Dead, and I hadn't actually noticed that. I was just looking through some of the notes here, so I just think the casting was great, because you've got, I mean, Richard E. Grant was wonderful as well as the sort of classic Loki. I thought he was good. Owen Wilson, I know what you're saying about Owen Wilson, that people have mixed feelings about Owen Wilson, but I thought he was wonderful as Mobius. I really enjoyed that. Shout out to Tara Strong, who is one of the voices of Harley Quinn, and she was in she does Batgirl and a whole bunch of other things as well. She's great and a wonderful voiceover artist, and she was the kind of animated clock thing that kept on popping up.
Miss Minutes,
that's it. Yes, she was great in that. I just thought the way that they ended it and set it up for the multiverse stuff moving forward, I thought that was a really interesting idea. Got a couple of little cameos as well from Jamie Alexander in there and Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth made an uncredited voice cameo apparently as Throg, who was the frog Thor.
I read something, obviously some of the fans go absolutely wild and start picking up Easter eggs, and I think I read something today that suggested that post-credit scene in WandaVision is apparently the moment that she kills Kang, because she hears a different multiverse where her two children are alive. So I read that deep deep in the web of the super fandoms today.
That interesting.
We're now supposed to link that bit where she opens her eyes because she hears her two sons talking to each other when they technically don't exist, is actually the moment where Sylvie kills Kang, because that's when the spawn of the new multiverses start and therefore the children are still alive. So that was an interesting theory. I'd like to know if it's true or if that's just, you know, the diehard MCU fans coming up with their own little connections.
It does sort of make sense though. I mean, as an interesting little connection, that does sort of make sense. So I'd not thought of that, but that works. I like what they're doing with the TV shows, because they're managing to play it in a way that's adding a lot of background and texture. But you could, if you didn't have Disney Plus and you were only watching the movies, you could just go, okay, there's a multiverse, and be interesting to see how they play with it in the movies. Are you going to have seen these TV series or not? I think they're playing it in such a way that you can kind of go, okay, well, there's a multiverse and that's fine, and you can just take that on in the movies, whereas this actually explains how the multiverse came into being. I mean, we've got other things that they've got to add in at some point, which may or may not come through the multiverse, like the Fantastic Four. We know that's got a movie coming at some point. The X-Men are going to have to show up, but we don't know at all what they're doing with that. They've made no announcements at all, but I do wonder whether that's going to come in through a multiverse thing some way. There were rumors flying around this week that maybe they might manage to convince Hugh Jackman to come back, but we'll see. It's going to be very interesting to see where it's going, but the end of this did get me quite excited for everything else as well. And I love the series as a whole. I think I agree with you. WandaVision, I think, is still up there. This sort of, I think, sits second at the moment, and I'm very much looking forward to What If coming out as well. And you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier was great. I, you know, much more traditional MCU, but I think it was still a really good setup that for those characters and introducing that. I do really like what they're doing with the TV shows at the moment. I think they're doing a fantastic job. So looking forward to where the rest go moving forward as well. But second season, I mean, it could be a little while off yet, but there is a second season coming. So,
and it's got to fit in with the story they're telling as well, so they won't just drop it because it's getting good ratings. It must be fitting in with where the TVA next need to come into play. So I hope they do it justice, but I'm sure they will. They've not really missed too many marks at the moment, have they? So
no,
that's good. Very, very good.
The only thing with the Loki series was, I mean, I'm glad they put a second season coming, because of the way it finished, it didn't wrap anything up in the way that WandaVision did as well. So, you know, I'm glad they kind of didn't just leave it there and sort of made no announcement. So that's all good. I'm very much looking forward to that coming back for another season. That was really fantastic.
So that officially ends my list now, Dave. It's over to you. What else have you been watching?
So Manifest, which dropped as a box set onto Sky On Demand and Now TV. I must get used to calling it that. So I've been working my way through the third season of that. I'm really enjoying the third season. I think they've done a fantastic job with it. I'm so gutted that the NBC decided not to renew it, and the fact that Netflix won't pick it up either, because it's doing ridiculous ratings on Netflix in the US. It's been like had the longest run on the number one spot in the Netflix top 10. It's getting stupid numbers according to the Nielsen ratings from the US people that track this stuff on Netflix as well. And it seems to be a financial issue, and they can't agree on numbers that would make it work. But it's a real shame that Netflix have opted not to do anything to move this forward after NBC decided to drop it, or the fact that NBC didn't want to move it across onto Peacock, which would be the other obvious thing to do. It's a real shame. But you're starting to get a bit more information about what happened to the plane and the passengers and how they potentially returned this season. And there's a bit more of a sort of religion stuff brought into it, which is kind of interesting as well. So been a very interesting direction they've taken with it this time.
The promo in the UK is weird. It's something I've never experienced, considering I know the previous two seasons have gone, but like, I don't remember the level of promo I'm getting across some of the, I'm getting it on my Twitter feeds. I'm getting it on my Instagram. I'm getting it across like my Now TV, etc. Like for a program that's been cancelled and this is the final season, the promo I just think is bizarre. It seems to be going over the top. You know that sometimes if a program's been cancelled, they just slide it out quietly and you know hardly say anything about it. But it's just like suddenly manifests as this brand new program coming onto the block. Everyone must go and watch it.
Yeah,
it's
weird with it being cancelled that it's being promoted so much. It's very, very strange how they've picked that up. That's the only real new thing I've watched. War of the Worlds is out now on for its second season on Disney Plus, but I just haven't managed to get to watch it yet. So I'm going to start that probably tonight. Other than that, I'm still working my way through the Clone Wars on Disney Plus. I'm on season 5 of that. I've just got to the Darth Maul bit, which I'm quite enjoying because I've not watched the whole thing previously. I'd kind of seen odd episodes here and there. So nice seeing all that story arc in order and stuff. So I'm watching that and The Bad Batch, which is coming out weekly. It's quite nice watching the two of them together and seeing how they fit together. So that's been really good. I'm working my way through those right now. I've got other things that I need to go back to, like Atypical, which I loved the first couple of seasons of and just hadn't got round to the third season. And now the fourth season's out, so I've got to catch up with that and stuff. Then New Amsterdam comes back this week as well, so I'm going to have that on. And there's a bunch of like other bits and pieces, all the procedurals, the 911s and that sort of stuff I've been watching it too. So lots and lots of good stuff out there right now, which I mean, I remember the times when you couldn't find anything to watch during the summer, and now look at it, it's just like loads of things all over the place. So I'm very much enjoying TV right now. There's a lot of decent stuff out there. So that's all the stuff we've been watching this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. The first one is kind of a cancellation, but it's sort of a cancellation before it even went anywhere. NBC have said they're not moving forward with Law and Order for the Defense, which was one of the spin-offs that they'd ordered. It was supposed to take an unbiased look in a criminal defense firm, putting lawyers under the microscope along with the criminal justice system. They've now decided that they're not going to make that. However, they have ordered another Law and Order spin-off. So they've taken all the resources they were given because that was ordered to series. I mean, they'd given that a series order and said, yeah, go on, make it. They got as far as actually sending casting notices out and giving offers to people for it as well. So it was quite far along. But it seems that Dick Wolf, who is the overlord of all things Law and Order and creator of it, had taken a look at it and just wasn't happy with the direction it was going. And it was being run by Carol Mendelsohn, who's a former CSI showrunner. I'm not saying this is her fault or anything. It's just overall, they just decided that looking at it, it wasn't up to the quality he wanted and it wasn't just didn't feel right. And decided that he's not going to move forward with that, but they're developing something else instead. We don't know what the other thing is going to be, other than it won't be a legal drama. It will be more a procedurally thing, apparently. This isn't the first time that they've done this. Like, there was Law and Order Hate Crimes, which was one thing that they announced a couple of years ago, I think. 2018 it was announced. And that was first announced for NBC, and then they thought the language wasn't going to be quite right. And then they said, oh, well, it may go out on Peacock. And then it went eerily quiet and appears to have been shelved. And that, again, was ordered straight to series. So it seems to be a common thing. But then I guess when you're Dick Wolf and you've got a bajillion shows on air, you can afford to be picky and the network's not going to argue with you. So
yeah, and he doesn't want to get cancelled quickly. So if he's going to have that high eye for detail,
yeah,
and if he thought it was just wasn't up to the scratch of some of the really strong ones he's got on at the moment, I can see he doesn't want to be, you know, Shonda has got a great record, but some of hers have come lasted one or two seasons and been shelved because it's that eye for detail, that sort of consistency that you look for in a drama. He's probably making a safe bet, isn't he? He doesn't want to be cancelled because it just puts everything else at risk.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, then you get a million stories of like, oh, is this the end of Dick Wolf and all this sort of stuff. So, I mean, you know, Dick Wolf, if you don't know or have heard the name, but aren't entirely sure what he's involved with, he's all the Law and Order stuff. So you've got SVU, which is still going strong, Organized Crime, which is the new spin-off, which he's actually due to launch fairly soon on Sky Witness later this month. He's behind the Chicago franchise, so all three of those shows. He's also behind the FBI, FBI Most Wanted, and then they've got FBI International starting in the autumn in the US as well. So we don't know. I mean, presumably Sky will pick that up as well. I mean, Sky Witness is basically Sky Wolf at this point, because they just, I mean, it's all the shows that they get for NBC, plus they picked up the FBI series, which run on CBS in the US, but now are on Sky Witness over here. So, I mean, just everything, all that stuff is all Dick Wolf dramas. So, I mean, you can see why he's quite protective. And I mean, he has had a couple of missteps in the past. And I, you know, I think, yeah, like you say, he's very protective of his brand as well as the show brand. So I think he's got to be fairly careful and make sure that things are as he wants them. So I think that's the reason for that. So there is more Law and Order spin-offs coming, but we don't know any more about it at the moment. In terms of renewals, mainly US stuff that hasn't aired over here yet, iCarly, which runs was a reboot or a continuation series, that's been renewed for season 2 on Paramount Plus in the US. Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, has been renewed for a second season by Starz ahead of its first season premiere. So this is the second spin-off to the original Power series, because there's Book 2 running as well, I think. I get very confused. There's a whole bunch of them. I think there was Book 4 coming up as well, because they announced like three different spin-offs telling different parts of the various stories for that series. So they've renewed Power Book 3 for a second season. And Loki, as we mentioned, has been renewed for a second season as well. In terms of pickups, The Equalizer, which is the Queen Latifah remake drama, that has been picked up by Sky Witness. I think that's been renewed for a second season as well. I'm old enough to remember the original. I imagine that's a bit before your time.
I know the films that Denzel did.
Yes. Well, there was before that, there was a TV series which starred a guy called Edward Woodward. And
oh, I remember him.
Yes, he was the lead in that, and they used to run on ITV over here, but actually wasn't a British show. It was a CBS show, and it ran for like 5 seasons, the original. And that was the original version of The Equalizer. Then Denzel Washington did those movie versions, and then this, which is a kind of amalgamation of the two, which has Queen Latifah in the lead role as this sort of person that helps out the people that are kind of downtrodden and stuff around it. So, I think that looks like it could be quite a good series. I know there's been sort of mixed comments about it when I posted the news, but generally it seems to be, from people that have seen a few episodes of it, say that it's quite good. So that'll be one to look out for. That's coming fairly soon onto Sky Witness. Alan Davis is returning for another season of As Yet Untitled, 4 years after the last one went out, which is coming Tuesday, the 27th of July at 10 p.m. on Dave. So I'm very much looking forward to that coming back. Have you seen any of those? They're really good.
I haven't, but I put it on my list this time around because, again, I saw him being interviewed recently, and it just made me think that I probably want to catch the next season and just see what it's all about, because he just talks quite highly about the programme. So yeah, it's been put on my list for the forthcoming season.
Yeah, As Yet Untitled, if you haven't seen it, it's a really interesting format because it's basically him and a group of some friends and some people that, you know, he knows, like they're celebrities and stuff, but maybe people that he doesn't know that well. And he's given a few notes about some things that have happened in the past, some of the guests and stuff, but there's no set topic for them to talk about. So it's literally a group of like 5 people sat in a room round a table chatting about, you know, stories and maybe some things that have happened in the news, although it's not particularly topical. It's quite often things about, you know, their background, like somebody met royalty once, or, you know, ended up going on a hike with Prince William, or it could be anything, some weird little facts that he maybe picks up on and they maybe tell the story about that. Or it could be something entirely random that just comes out of the conversation between the 5 of them. So it's just a really interesting storytelling format and interview format. And the reason it's called As Yet Untitled, because ultimately the kind of vague idea of the show is they come up with a title for the episode at the end of it, based on what they've been talking about. So it is essentially an interview show, but it's a very different sort of format for it. So I really, really like that. And Alan Davies is lovely. And it's a sort of quite a gentle, nice thing to watch. Very much enjoy that. That it's 27th of July on Dave at 10 p.m. That is coming back. Top Gear versus F1 special is coming to BBC One. They announced this autumn. So that sees the Top Gear lads take an Alfa Romeo, a McLaren and Aston Martin V8 Vantage and challenge Sebastian Vettel, Lando Norris and Antonio Giovinazzi, I think his name is, who are three F1 drivers. I don't know F1 at all, but I assume they're three F1 drivers. And they've sort of challenged them to various different things. So they're doing a special based around that, which and you know, it's nice that they're managing to put a special out, because obviously they can't really go anywhere to do a special. And the old Top Gear guys on the Grand Tour, they've also got another special coming out. This one's called Lockdown, spelt L-O-C-H, because it's them touring around Scotland, because again, obviously they can't go abroad. They were supposed to go to Russia to shoot one, but obviously couldn't do that due to the lockdown, so they've went to Scotland instead. That is coming out on the 30th of July. That is arriving, and it's obviously the three of them messing around in cars. Another new show coming up that they announced in, this is coming to Starzplay in September. It's called BMF, Black Mafia Family, it was known as originally, but it's from 50 Cent. It's one of the shows that he's producing, and he, you know, he did Power and all sorts of other things. He's turned into a bit of a TV mogul at this point. But BMF is inspired by the true story of two brothers who rose from the decaying streets of the Southwest Detroit in the late 80s and gave birth to one of the most influential crime families in the United States. Big Meech is one of them, and Southwest T is the other brother. Those are the two guys, and they get involved in sort of hip-hop and the drug trade and all that sort of thing as well. So sounds like it could be quite an interesting historical drama kind of thing, which I think actually, interestingly, Big Meech is being played by Little Meech, who is his son in the TV show as well. It's got Russell Hornsby in it as well, playing one of the characters, who you'll know from shows like Grimm, played the partner in Grimm. So yeah, that sounds like it could be quite interesting. But that is coming 26th of September. It's called BMF, and that is coming to Starzplay in the UK, and it'll be on Starz in the US. And another little bit of news that dropped out today, actually. Charmed, history is repeating itself. The Charmed reboot series, which is just about to go up to its third season finale in the US, is losing one of its lead sisters. Madeline Matlock, who played the eldest sister Macy in the reboot series, has decided that she's not going to carry on after the third season. So they'll see what happens in the finale this week. Obviously, we don't know when this is coming back to the UK, because it's E4 and they've got to sober up and throw the dart in the right place for them to actually decide when they're going to schedule it. But it sounds like she's left of her own accord. It's not like it was with Shannon Doherty on the original series, who also was the eldest sister that left after three seasons. It was kind of more slightly pushed out, I think, in that case. But it sounds like it was her decision to leave. She says, "I'm incredibly grateful to the CW and CBS studios for my time on the show and for being a brilliant support in my difficult decision to leave. Huge thanks to the fans who can look forward to what I know will be a spectacular fourth season," because it has been renewed for a fourth season. Did you see any of this Charmed reboot?
No, never been on my sort of list of interests, I'm afraid.
I did see a bit of it when it first came back. I kind of just saw it, you know, a few episodes to watch out of interest. I know it has got a dedicated fan base. I did like the original series, but yeah, it's kind of interesting that it's ended up with sort of mirroring the original series unintentionally by losing the eldest sister after three seasons. do wonder what they're going to do, because in the original series, a long lost fourth sister turned up in the form of Rose McGowan, and that's how they kind of continued the whole Power of Three thing. The only problem with this is Charmed, the reboot series, used the long lost sister trait in the opening episode. So there were two sisters, and then a long lost sister turned up, which was, I think, was actually Macy, who is the character that's now leaving. So I don't know whether they'd do another long lost sister turn up up out of nowhere, or whether they'll try and work out another way of bringing somebody in. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that for the full season. But yeah, they obviously knew that she was leaving from the statements they've made, so presumably they've got it covered. Moving on to other news stories, True Crime on Channel 4 is a new thing that's coming up. They're launching this kind of new branded segment thing, which is going to launch across the Channel 4 network. So it's going to be on all four and on the main Channel 4 channel. Basically, what they've done is they've brought in a load of true crime things. I think it said something like 200 hours of various true crime formats. So there's a bunch of acquisitions, including some of the things like Surviving R. Kelly and Surviving Jeffrey Epstein, which have already run in the UK, but not on free-to-air. So they'll be going out first time on free-to-air, and they were kind of big award-winning documentaries. So they're going to put those out. 24 Hours in Police Custody, which goes out on Channel 4, is obviously going to be a big part of it as well, because that's a big sort of true crime thing. They have got a couple of new commissions they picked up. One is a show called Murder in the Alps, which is a three-part series about the murders of the Al-Hadi family in Chavelin on the 5th of September in 2012. Almost a decade later, the series re-examines the extraordinary unsolved case with the use of archive footage and interviews with the victim's family and friends, witnesses, former suspects, journalists, and those close to the investigation in France and the UK. That's one of them. And the other one is called Bling Ring, which is a three-part series which lifts the lid on one of the most infamous crime sprees of the internet age between October 2018 and August 2019. I remember this when it happened. It was really odd. There was a wave of burglaries that took place in some of the richest suburbs of LA. They were dubbed the Bling Ring by reporters, and they stole over $3 million worth of cash, art, designer goods, jewelry from a bunch of A-list celebrities, including Paris Hilton, Orlando Bloom, and Lindsay Lohan. They're eventually revealed to be a group of middle-class suburban teenagers who have been planning the heist based on paparazzi sites and social media posts, which revealed that the famous victims were away from their homes.
So, and it then became a film.
Yeah, I thought they'd done like a film or something about it as well. Ooh. But yeah, so this is going to be a three-part documentary about the actual events as well. So I think that sort of sounds like it could be quite interesting. Do you do true crime? I know you watch some of them on Netflix.
Yeah, I do like it. It can become a little bit all-encompassing, but in the UK, we're going to have the Sky Crime Channel. We have lots of good stuff coming onto Amazon and Netflix. And now Channel 4, I mean, could there be too much? Are we going to have sort of like repeated around the place? You know, could we see things on multiple channels? But I love it. And I know there's a big audience out there who sometimes don't want to watch fiction. They like to watch factual, and there'll be a thirst for it, you know? So yeah, I think it's a good acquisition. Channel 4 do need to sort themselves out a little bit, you know, losing some good programs, giving up on some good programs. So if this is something that gets them back into the good books again, then go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an interesting sort of setup to actually sort of brand it as a thing. As I said, there's hundreds of hours of content that are going onto the All Four catalogue as well. So as well as like, you know, these new commissions, they've only announced two new commissions so far, but they've also acquired, as well as Surviving R. Kelly, Surviving Jeffrey Epstein, I, Sniper, The Washington Killers, they've acquired as well. First 48, they've acquired The Devil You Know Season 2 and Dark Side of the Ring Season 3 as well. So those are some of the shows which are going to be running on Channel 4, and there's going to be a whole bunch of additional content going on to War 4 as well. So that'll be something to look out for. I think autumn, they said they're launching that. So keep an eye out for that if you're into true crime. That will pop up. Moving on to drama, Dominic Moynihan is one of the two stars of a new AMC sci-fi drama called Moonhaven, which sounds kind of interesting. It's a suspense thriller focused on Bella Sway, a lunar cargo pilot and smuggler 100 years in the future, who finds herself accused of a crime and marooned on Moonhaven, a utopian community set in a 500 square miles of Garden of Eden built on the moon to find solutions to the problems that soon will end civilization on Mother Earth. A skeptic in paradise, Bella is sucked into a conspiracy to gain control of an artificial intelligence responsible for Moonhaven's miracles, and teams up with a local detective to stop the forces that want to destroy Earth's last hope before they are destroyed themselves. Dominic Moynihan, of course, you will probably know as the Hobbit Merry in the Lord of the Rings series. He also played Charlie Pace in Lost, and then popped up in a bunch of other things like Flash Forward, 100 Code, Bike Club, He was in Rise of Skywalker as well, and the video game TV series thing, Quantum Break as well, he was in that. He's playing the detective who is tasked with solving the problems of Earth. The lead role of Bella Sway is going to relative newcomers called Emma McDonald. She's appeared in Picture of Dorian Gray and appeared in season 2 of The Queens of Mystery, neither of which are things that I particularly know. And she's done a lot of stage acting and stuff, but she's relatively new to TV and film work. That's kind of nice gig to your major AMC new series to land your first kind of major TV role. Bella Sway is described as a sort of rogue Han Solo-esque character who's also a veteran of the tremendous war. When she finds herself drawn into a conspiracy about Moonhaven's utopia, she learns that she has a deeper ties to the place than she first thought. So yeah, any interest in the sci-fi drama?
Oh, I don't know, Dave. You know me and sci-fi. We haven't got the best relationship in the world. I'm reading about it. It's interesting, but I just don't know if it'll go high on my list, but I'll keep it in the back of my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that AMC are branching out into things that aren't sort of zombies for a change. I mean, we know they've, as we mentioned last week, they've got the Vampire Chronicles coming, which is based on the Anne Rice novels. So they've got that strand coming. You know, nice that they've kind of got some new things starting up, because I think AMC pushed everything into The Walking Dead and then kind of forgot about everything else, it seems. So I'm glad that they're starting to make new shows again. But we'll keep an eye out for Moonhaven. Don't know where it'll land in the UK, because although we have AMC UK, they don't always air AMC shows. Weirdly, they seem to make more money selling them to like Amazon and stuff. We may come onto AMC UK. It may go somewhere else entirely. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And lastly for this week, Sky has revived the classic show Nevermind the Buzzcocks with Greg Davis set as host. This is the musical-themed comedy show, which returns as an 8-episode series and a Christmas special. It's going to be on Sky. It was originally on BBC Two, but it's Sky that have brought it back. Basically, it's a music quiz. It's fun. It's silly. You've got Greg Davis, who is going to be the host. Noel Fielding, who was on the original show, on the later seasons of the original show, he's going to be back as one of the team captains. Daisy May Cooper from This Country is also going to be on as the other team captain, and Jamel Maddox from Hate Thy Neighbour is going to be a regular guest on there. So that's going to be the setup for it. Greg Davis said, "I've always loved Nevermind the Buzzcocks and thrilled to be the new host on Sky. We have a brilliant comedic talent on the team and plenty of exciting musical guests will be joining us. All that being said, I'm sure that nobody reads these press quotes in their entirety, so I'm going to finish by listing types of bread: rye, sourdough, sliced white, oh, and cob."
Dave, you've fallen into the trap.
Yes, damn it. There's going to be three regulars joined by a roster of top music and comedy stars to compete against each other. There's the usual unpredictability of the original series. Some of the best known and love rounds are also coming back, alongside some new surprises thrown in as well. I'm very happy they're reviving this. I think it's a shame that they didn't manage to get Phil Jupitus to come back, because Phil Jupitus is amazing on that show. Yeah. And I hope he comes in as a guest, but at least that would be good. But I can see they're aiming for maybe a younger demographic than maybe some of those older comedians off there. But, you know, it's a good set of people they've got. Yeah.
I will miss Simon Amstell. Like, yes. He did do the last couple of seasons a really good justice as the host. He was so controversial, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In terms of if they brought on a guest that he didn't like or felt were maybe famous for the wrong reasons, he'd properly try and call them out on it and put these awkward elements in. So, but I will miss him being part of that. But, you know, that's a really good setup, a really, really strong. Daisy May Cooper never fails to make me laugh whenever she is on TV. I just love her stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to it. I remember watching it quite a lot when I was younger.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Simon Amstell. Some of the stuff that he came out with was so vicious, to the point that there were some people that actually walked off, to remember, which only made it funnier, of course, because, there's people taking themselves way, way too seriously, which was hilariously funny. But yeah, if you didn't like somebody, you knew about it. And I mean, I think maybe that's the reason why they've gone with somebody like Greg Davis instead. But yeah, I mean, I thought Simon was fantastic, and Mark Lamar did it before that. So yeah. great host. It would be nice if you could have some of those people kind of come back on and do it. And, you know, just as like some of the guests would be quite fun to have them come back, but we'll see. I'm glad it's coming back. I think this is a good pickup for Sky. I will very much be looking forward to that. Don't know exactly when that's going to land, but presumably autumn-ish, if they're doing 8 episodes and a Christmas special, it will be sort of autumn-ish, I suspect, when that turns up. So that's all the news for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week. We have Turner and Hooch, which is the TV series that is based off the original movie with Tom Hanks. That's landing on Disney Plus on the 21st of July, when an ambitious, buttoned-up US Marshal inherits a big, unruly dog. He soon realizes the dog he didn't want may be the partner he needs. It stars Josh Peck as Scott Turner, son of Detective Scott Turner, who was portrayed by Tom Hanks in the original film. I do think they missed a trick by not managing to convince Colin Hanks to do that role, but yeah, you know,
that would have worked so well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is a shame, but anyway, Josh Peck I'm sure is absolutely fine. So that is coming on the 21st of July. There is a trailer up on the website for that if you want to go and see it. New Amsterdam returns on its new home on Sky Witness for a third season. That is on the 21st of July at 9 p.m. I'm very, very much looking forward to that returning. I know some people are complaining because it's on Sky Witness and it was on Amazon before, but it was always a slightly odd acquisition for Amazon. I think Sky Witness is a more sensible place for it. So Blackish season 7, that has come around very, very quickly because season 6 was only a few weeks ago. 22nd of July at 4 p.m. they seem to be running these out.
I've got a theory about this. I think they're about to lose their license and Disney Plus want to drop the next two seasons, so they currently have seasons 1 to 5, and Channel 4 have honestly been holding on to season 6 for nearly 18 months. There was no reason why they couldn't play that out during the pandemic. They had it. We clearly knew it was belonged to E4.
Yeah.
And suddenly we get them all every day at 4 p.m. and 4:30. Lost TV slot, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's a good comedy. It should be in their comedy slot. And I think they're dropping them all because they're about to lose the license for them, because they're all going to go to Disney Plus. That's my theory, and I'm going to stick to it.
I am very much in agreement with you. I rather suspect that is the case. It happened with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. The final season of that, I think, ended up going out on Disney Plus. So I think you're probably right. I think that it's one of those shows that it makes far more sense that Disney Plus are going to run out the last few seasons. So yeah, they're kind of pushing that out. I think you're probably right with that. I think that's probably the case. Blackish season 7, 22nd of July at 4 p.m. that is going out on E4 in their random scheduling calendar. Deception season 1, well, one and only season of Deception, coming to Alibi on the 23rd of July at 9 p.m. this stars Jack Cutmore Scott as Cameron Black, a superstar magician whose career is ruined by a scandal. So he turns to the only place he can think of to practice his art of deception, influence and illusion, the FBI. This was a Berlanti series. It was one of the Greg Berlanti controlled things. It only ran for one season, didn't manage to take off, unfortunately, but sounds quite fun. So if you're looking for something to kind of fill a gap, that might be one worth looking for on Alibi. That's 23rd July at 9 p.m. Masters of the Universe Revelation, which is an animated series coming to Netflix on the 23rd of July. That's Kevin Smith, who's the person behind this, so the Geek Master extraordinaire. He is the person that took the reins on this series. It looks like it's going to be really, really good. And Kevin's very, very much up on his He-Man. So I think there's going to be a really interesting series. But 23rd of July for that. Ted Lasso returns for season 2. That's on 23rd of July as well on Apple TV. That just picked up a bunch of Emmy nominations. I haven't got around to watching yet, but I know Matt's been watching. It says it's fantastic. I need to go and check this out because it looks like it's been really good. And certainly from the amount of awards it's got, that certainly says it. It's an American college football coach that's recruited to take over an England soccer team. And as we mentioned earlier, Alan Davis, as yet untitled, 27th of July at 10 p.m. That lands on Dave. So that is everything coming up for the next week on TV. If people want to find you throughout the weeks, where can they get you?
So yes, before I go into the wilderness, if you want me to contact me, I'm on Twitter at GreyTheGeek. That's Grey with an A. Yeah, I'll be off grid for about 2 weeks, but I'll be returning about August the 9th to get my second jab. So that's when I'll start appearing again.
Excellent. Yes. So go and check Grey out on Twitter. For everybody else, of course, Bex, you can find over at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. We've just posted an interview that Bex did with another huge Twitch streamer. It's a really, really fun and interesting interview. A guy called The Hunter Wild. Go and check that out. It'll be in your stream in the Behind the Scenes podcast. But that was a really interesting interview about sort of Twitch streaming and the charity work and all the other stuff that they do. And if you're interested in Twitch streaming, he runs a thing called Streamer Square, which gives you sort of background into it and how to get started and that sort of stuff. Really interesting interview that, and Bex did that for us. So hopefully she will be back on the main show soon. She's just snowed under with work right now. So that's Bex at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. Matt, you can go and get over on entertainmenttalk.org. We are back doing the last few episodes of Breaking Bad Season 2 over there, so go and check those out. And Daryl, you can go and find over on HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those series you love which are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.